In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, December 22nd, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The government of India is persecuting Christians if they call people to change religions or repent. Vatican Radio reports that a Pentecostal church was attacked in the north several weeks ago, and the parishioners were beaten with sticks. The percentage of persons calling themselves Christians in India has fallen from 25% to 2.3% since 1960, according to World News Service. International Christian Concern reports that 7 evangelical Christians are heading to jail in the Chiapas, southern Mexico region because they refused to convert to Catholicism. A group of 8 families were pressed to sign documents indicating their subscription to the Catholic religion, and those who refused were imprisoned by local authorities. In the words of Christ, "Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." John 15:20-21. The Canadian pastor facing a life sentence in North Korea is in good spirits, according to a team of Canadian diplomats. Pastor Hyun-Soo Lim reportedly broke down in tears when he heard his son's message to him, "We're all proud of you." Lisa Pack, spokesperson for the pastor's family, says they're praying that the Canadian government will put more pressure on the North Korean government to secure the pastor's release.
What we're trying to do right now is, now that Prime Minister Trudeau has commented on the sentence, the federal government at the highest level is aware of the circumstances. And what we're hoping for now is the Trudeau government and the diplomats associated with this case to push forward and to continue making a case for his immediate release. We have a few social movements going on Facebook with hashtags, and we're hoping that the international community could also help put, you know, appropriate pressure on the UN and the Canadian government and perhaps even the DPRK government to release him. And we're really hoping before the end of the year. I mean, that would just be a wonderful, wonderful blessing.
5 students will be expelled from their college because they were caught on camera holding a private prayer meeting in Shandong province in eastern China. No? It wasn't UCLA this time. But after a Wyoming school district attempted to shut down prayer in the high school cafeteria last month, the Alliance Defense Fund got involved. The school administration backed down and now will allow voluntary, non-disruptive prayer over lunch. Jonathan Scruggs, an attorney for the Alliance Defense Fund, explained that the Supreme Court has upheld the right of some public praying in kindergarten through 12th grade schools.
No student should ever be prevented from engaging in prayer alone or quietly with other students on campus. The United States Supreme Court has already weighed in on this specific issue. The First Amendment protects the right to pray in a non-disruptive, peaceful manner, not just in private, but in public too. The district has done the right thing in this situation by lifting its unconstitutional ban on prayer.
The United Kingdom Department of Education has got homeschooling on its radar. According to recent reports from The Independent, they have appointed more inspectors to, quote, "eradicate extremism in education," unquote. And the department head, Nikki Morgan, has aired concerns that parents may be, quote, "filling their children's minds with poison," unquote. Actually, the exact opposite is true. The government schools are guilty of injecting poison into the minds of children. China experienced another disaster over the weekend when a waste dump created a landslide, overrunning a number of residential buildings. At least 90 people are missing in the catastrophe. Jesus Christ reminds us, "Of those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, did you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:4-5. 17 schools in Nashua, Connecticut closed yesterday after the district received another threat of violence. Last week, the 2 largest school districts in the nation received similar threats. The Los Angeles School District decided to close for the day, while the New York District schools remained open. The Clark County District Attorney is considering the death penalty for a woman who allegedly plowed her car into a crowd on the Las Vegas Strip on Sunday night. One person was killed and another 35 were wounded in the rampage. Al-Shabaab attempted another attack on Christians in Kenya, this time on a bus in the Mandera region. The fundamentalist Muslim group attempted to separate the Christians from the Muslims on the bus, but the group would have none of it. "Kill us all or leave," they told the terrorists. Only two of the passengers were killed in the attack. Still representing the old conservative guard in America, Phyllis Schlafly is calling Donald Trump the last hope for America. She commended him in an interview with WorldNetDaily.com for his willingness to, quote, "fight for the issues we care about," unquote. Schlafly pointed to the immigration issue as an example. "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Psalm 33:10-12. Star Wars: The Force Awakens broke box office records, raking in $530 million in its opening weekend. When the smoke clears, the two most popular motion pictures of all time will be Avatar and this new Star Wars film, both movies based on a pantheistic worldview, a worship of created things rather than the creator himself. Crude oil sits at an 11-year low as of today, just over $34 a barrel. That should make for some affordable holiday travel this year. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, December 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2015. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Homeschool father of five, also a pastor of a church out here on the eastern plains of Colorado, raising our children during the breakdown of the Western world, the breakdown of the Christian faith in the Western world, and trying to retain something of a Christian world and life view in the first part of the 21st century. And, you know, as American transforms from a basically Christian approach to culture to more of a humanistic and pantheistic spirituality, we ask ourselves the question from time to time, where do these people go to church? Where are these churches? Yeah, where do they meet? My daughter Emily's in studio with me today, and we took a field trip over the weekend to one of these churches.
And it was packed.
It was packed out. Yes.
People were sitting on the floor.
It was hard to get into it.
Yeah.
In fact, I haven't seen it that packed in a long time.
No, I haven't. I think, and this church is the kind of church that it appeals to your flesh. It appeals to man being entertained, man being comfortable. So people like it.
I'm speaking of the movie theater, of course. And we went to the movie theater because we heard that there was a very popular movie that was popular with a lot of Christians, hearing a lot of Christians excited about this new movie produced by the new humanism, the pantheistic spiritual leaders of the day. And boy, this set box office records for the opening weekend by I think, a factor of 25%, something like $270 million in domestic box office receipts. That's pretty significant for an opening weekend. And my guess, this thing, and I'm talking about Star Wars, The Force Awakens, of course, this thing's probably going to go to $1 billion to $2 billion before it's done. Now, two of the biggest movies of all time will be Avatar and this one, and it's hard to know which one's going to be in first place. My guess is Star Wars The Force Awakens will edge out Avatar. Now, there's similarities between both of them, and I want to point that out before we take the break, Emily. What are the similarities between Avatar and Star Wars The Force Awakens? Can you think about that for a second? Well, both are...
There's not much of a distinction between the human and the animal, is there? Or the human and the creature?
Mm-hmm.
And they're both kind of in another reality or another world.
That's right. Both are fantasy or science fiction. Most of the movies that take the top 10, 15, 20 all-time box office records, with maybe the exception of Titanic, are fantasy or science fiction, which means that the modern society is more and more escapistic. They're going for these things because, and this is the sort of overarching worldview, people want to escape the present reality, and they do so by way of fantasy. There are tens of thousands of escape ramps off the highway of reality, and this is just another escape ramp for them. Also, one other similarity, and that is they are both pantheistic. Their worldview is distinctively pantheistic, and we want to get onto that in just a moment. However, a lot of Christians like this film because there were no sex scenes, just a kiss on a forehead. That was about all there was. And so in that sense, it was somewhat attractive.
It wasn't defiling
in that
to your
sense.
Eyes.
Right,
in that sense.
Right. And very little bad language. Only a couple references to hell by one of the heroes.
From
and again,
Finn.
That's sort of a profane, a brief in your face, fist in the face of the Almighty, who, by the way, promises damnation to those who take his name in vain and do not repent and accept his salvation. So it's interesting, though, that, you know, you still have a little bit of that remnant of the old Christian West. This isn't pure paganism in the sense that it is paganism that has most recently apostatized from the Christian faith, and that's why they're still taking God's name in vain and using references like hell and damn in the movie. Typically, we want to reserve the words like damnation and hell for God's works of judgment because this is all part of the Word of God, how he's expressed himself to us and part of his works as well. All right, so here is one Christian review of the film. I'm going to just read this, and this sets us up for what we're going to do as we review the film in studio today. Emily Swanson, my daughter, and myself in studio as we take a look at Star Wars The Force Awakens. Here is the Christian review. Quote, Star Wars is many things to many people, and most of them are right about it. To some, it's all hinky spirituality. To others, it's laser fights and space freighters. Still others think of it as a love story or as a Western or galactic war zone, but it can also be a starting point to talk about courage, friendship, faith, and family. Now, again, we want to look at sort of the overarching view of this thing, and as this guy describes this story, what we get is a many-faceted story that can be enjoyed by any religion, and that's really the point he tries to make. And the best stories, as defined by the modern, is the story that can reflect or can uphold any
religion.
Because the story itself is confused and somewhat polytheistic. It's a tipping of the hat to all
very
religions.
Blurry.
Yeah, pretty much what Rome was doing with all the pantheons.
Just trying to meld them all together.
That's right. So it allowed for all the gods, all of the perspectives, until one showed up and said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Christ is
the
only
savior.
King and the only Savior. Yeah.
Not a Savior.
At that point, you know, those who maintained that position were rather unpopular in the empire at that time. And I think the same thing is happening today as well. Well, my friends, thankfully, the Star Wars movies are epistemologically self-conscious. That is, they come out with a very clear definition of what they're talking about. So we don't have to look very far for a description of their worldview. They pretend to create something of a complex world with a complex worldview. But people are there, people are watching, and I think you have to take the words on face value. So we're going to do that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Star Wars, The Force Awakens. Friends, again, the title of the film should manifest something of the worldview, but we are going to take a close look at it in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, also daughter Emily in studio with me. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Also, Emily in studio with me, my daughter, who was with me as we reviewed a movie that is now probably the greatest blockbuster of all time in the history of the United States. And we want to take a look at this because this program is also about worldviews. Mm-hmm. And we want to take a look at the antithesis as it compares to the thesis. And we do this, well, because I think it's important to understand the times and to know the people that we minister to around us. We now live in something of a pagan country ourselves. It's important for all Christians to understand this and to be able to give an answer to those who ask for a reason for the hope that is within you, but do it with meekness and fear. All right, so Star Wars The Force Awakens is effectively a continuation of the other six episodes. I believe this is the seventh, produced by Disney this time. And the plot for the Star Wars series is effectively centered around battles between large galaxy governments. Now, we're not talking about national governments. We're not talking about a world government here. We're talking about galaxy governments. Now, that means it's very big.
It's very big.
And very powerful.
The wars are extraordinary.
Now, where in the Bible do we find men saying, go to, let us make a name for ourselves, let's form a world government? Where do we find that?
I think we find that at Babylon. And for them, God looked at that and he was not pleased with.
He's
not pleased with the thirst for power because God is the one who is overall, not men.
That's right. So in terms of political theory, right off the bat, this is much, much different than a Christian political theory. A Christian political theory is massively decentralized, but this one is centralized. So you have these large centralized governments that go after each other, and it's extremely centralized. The Republic is always threatened by another dictatorship, an attempt to rule the galaxy by some great dictator. So you have a dictatorship against a republic, but it's effectively the same thing. It's people just power mongering and wanting control over all of these this galaxy, all these settlements. There's supposed to be all the way throughout the galaxy.
One's a bit like a good dictator, and one's more like the evil dictator.
That's, well, it's either, you know, the republic, the good democratic republic, socialist government, much like the governments that rule most of the Western world today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All right. They're supposed to be republics and democracies, but they do nothing but centralize power and tax the living daylights out of their populace. So there's that. And then there's the dictator. Now, which do you want? You know, they go after each other. They're all power mongers, and that's what they do. So the Republic eventually breaks through with the help from rebel forces. So you get a collection of rebel forces, Republic breaks through, and that's effectively what happens again in the episode 7, which we watched over the weekend. The First Order is the tyranny again, so it's risen up and controls the Empire, and it's displaced the disorganized Republic after 30 years. And so once again, these rebel forces sort of recollect themselves in order to go up against this tyrannical force. This is led by a powerful dictator. Now, but I want to look at the worldview because that's what matters most. And I want to make this point that the foundational worldview is the most essential element of the story and always is. Don't let anybody tell you anything but that.
And it always comes out at one point in the movie. There weren't a lot of instances of it being really strongly propounded, but there were several times when the characters just stopped and told you what the Force was and what they really believed in it. And it shocks you. It's definitely not Christian. It's pagan.
You wonder what would happen if right in the middle of a film, let's say a Christian produced an adventure film, and right in the middle of it, somebody started preaching at you and telling you about the triune God and the Trinitarian worldview and the sinfulness of man and the redemption that God brings through his son, Jesus Christ. You know, what if, you know, you tuck in that essential worldview message through a soliloquy from, say, a Han Solo or somebody like that in the middle of the story? My guess is everybody would be up in arms, at least, you know, most of the pagans.
That would stop everyone in their tracks.
Sure it would. But for some reason, Christians seem to be A-okay with this preachy thing that comes out in the middle of the movie. Now, not everybody, but there are too many. It's just, oh, well, whatever. But that is the essential element. That's the fundamental worldview foundation that lies under the entire story. And of course, the producers and the directors want to be sure that you get the message. Well, the force, I want to talk about the force a little bit. You've heard the phrase, may the force be with you. First of all, you know, that is certainly a takeoff of may the Lord be with you. Several of the typical secular commentators reference that in some of their some of their take on this, but it's a takeoff of that, and it's a displacement. It's a, I think, a conscious displacement of a Christian view of things in the Western world during the great apostasy that has happened over the last 150 years in the Western world.
I really get the feeling, and I see that it's the desire that man really wants to be God to himself, so he can have the force and he can, of his own power, quote unquote, wield it himself and thereby be good or evil. But you don't go back to the fact that man is basically depraved, and that's why there's all this evil in Star Wars, because man is basically depraved.
You got it. They missed the anthropology, the right anthropology that we're dealing with. But the Force is a major thrust in the series. And I just spent 2 or 3 hours studying over the other 6 episodes. I don't know as if I've ever seen maybe 1 or 2 out of the 6 episodes over the years. But the Force, as it turns out, is a major thrust in the whole series. And Han Solo, in 1977, was a skeptic. I don't know if you knew that, in 1977.
Back then.
Yeah, some 40 years ago.
Now.
During, I guess it was the episode 3 or whatever it was. He was still a skeptic and did not believe in the Force. But I think it's instructive that here we have Han Solo, very popular character. In fact, when he walked out onto the screen, we heard the audience go,
cheer.
Hoo, 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 wah, hoo, wah.
They loved him.
They did. Yeah. And so when Han Solo shows up, now what does he say about the Force in episode 7?
He says that he didn't believe in it before, but he turns to the young people and he says, the Force is real. And he says that he knows that it's real.
It's all real. It's all real. That's right. The Jedi is real. The dark side is real. It's all real. He does a little thing where he really, I mean, he does a preachy thing.
Yeah, he does.
Han Solo is the true convert. And, you know, that's important. I think that's important for the whole series, that we are converting the masses into this worldview. And it's taken some time to do it.
And the thing is, the Force is so, man sees that he can't control everything. But man doesn't want to acknowledge God because God would convict a man of his sin and his wrong relationship with God. But he wants to know that something is driving everything. So they come up with this force for the Star Wars.
I think you're right. I think psychologically man is trying to dispel the notion of God entirely. The idea of God being sovereign. We need to define God. From a biblical perspective, God can only be defined as the one who is absolutely sovereign over all, and he is the source of our reality. He is the creator, the providential sustainer of all things. He is the source of our ethics, the source of our truth. He is the absolute, and we derive our existence. We derive our ethics, our truth, from God, who is the absolute.
And God is good. God is not this balance of good and evil. God is perfectly 100% good.
Absolutely. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of quotes. This is throughout the series. So you don't have to look very far to discover the religion and the worldview of Star Wars. So again, this is no secret whatsoever. Obi-Wan Kenobi, one of the Jedi, I believe one of the original Jedi, He says, the Force is what gives a Jedi his power. It's an energy field created by all living beings. It surrounds us, penetrates us. It binds the galaxy together. And Yoda also, this little wise guy thing, says life creates the Force, makes it grow as energy surrounds us and binds us. The usage of the Force granted a number of useful powers, such as the ability to sense impending attacks, to push and lift physical objects, influence the thoughts of others. And mm-hmm. we certainly saw something like that with one of the young ladies in episode 7. And it's known as a Jedi mind trick, by the way. And even see the future or maintain one's consciousness after death. Dark side users strong with the Force could summon lightning from their fingertips. Jedi taught younglings that the Force could be used for many purposes, including protection, persuasion, wisdom, manipulation of matter, and the performance of great physical feats. So effectively, the Force gives supernatural abilities, causal abilities that would be supernatural, and also includes a tapping into a sovereign force that could both foreordain and foretell the future.
But now, that's important. Not God.
That's important. But yeah, but the key is, and you got it, it's not God. Now, it could either be God or the demon world, and the demon world does pretend to foreordain and to foretell the future, but they don't. They just pretend to do it, and that's hence witches,
just like Pharaoh,
fortune tellers and such. Yeah. But where a sovereign God is not the source, then what is this? If the sovereign God is not the source of the supernatural power, then what is this? As defined biblically, it's got to be
the creature.
Witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft. It's them looking to the creation rather than to the creator, and they're pretending to derive their power from the creation.
Yeah, and if it's not derived from the creator, then it's witchcraft. And what you see should send a little bit of a shiver up and down your back when you see the Jedi doing what the Jedi does without any kind of a concept that there is a God. That is, they've already rebelled against the concept of a sovereign God, and they're appealing to forces that are outside of or independent of God, at least from their perspective. That's called witchcraft in terms of a biblical language. So that's important, I think, for all of us. If the Force is God, then the Force could not have been created, at least as we define God. But Yoda and of course, Obi-Wan Kenobi do acknowledge that this Force has been created by life forms, and therefore it can't be God, according to our definition.
So it can't be all-powerful.
That's right. Therefore, it's got to be something like a pantheism, where this life force works through all things. And effectively, it's an Eastern mystic concept of the Kai, or the Ki. And that's what we're seeing in the Force. Han Solo in 1977 said, I've never seen anything to make me believe that there's one all-powerful force controlling everything. So there is a sense in which the Force may be sovereign, and yet it can't be sovereign if it's been created. See, so that's a problem. That's an internal tension or a contradiction in their system. The Force is not sovereign. It's also at the beck and call of men. For example, in episode 7 that we just watched over the weekend, Maz Kanata said, the Force, it's calling to you, just let it in, as if
they could use it however they wanted.
As if they have some kind of a power over it.
Right. That's and the right. girl, she looked as if she was using it that way, and then the bad guy was using it for evil, but she was using it. Yeah. She was balancing it on the other side.
So good. The force is not exactly sovereign. The Force gives special powers. The Force is impersonal, like the pagan notion of fate. So it's not a personal God. So again, we're distinguishing between what we would see as God and who God is, as revealed to us in Holy Scripture. The Force also has a dark side and light side, as you mentioned. Now, Obi-Wan in The Revenge of the Sith says the dark side of the Force is an evil presence. The Force, therefore, is not good. So that was a conclusion that you drew accurately earlier on in the program. The Force is not good. Now, therefore, it can't be God.
So then where does the definition of good come from? Why is
That's
it wrong
exactly right.
to kill people?
There's another internal contradiction there. Because there is no ultimate in the Star Wars worldview outside of the Force or outside of the created order, what we would call the created order or the universe.
But the force is not even definite or absolute.
Mm-mm. The force has both a light side and the dark side. As far as I can tell, the light side is not necessarily defined as good. The Jedi are the only ones who can bring balance to the force. That is, they take the light and the dark and somehow they're able to balance the force and introduce good to the world. So that's what the Jedi do. But that isn't what the force does, you see, because the force is not good. Now, what we say is that is a contradiction to scripture. If God is the source of all power, if God is the source of all good and God is defined as good in scripture, then this cannot be God.
And you cannot use evil. You can't call evil good and good evil. If the force is evil, you can't call it good.
No.
You can't make it good.
No. It turns out to be an impersonal force that has no concept of good or evil. It simply has a dark side and a light side. The force is an impersonal force, and this relieves man of moral responsibility for his actions, especially as far as it's an impersonal force that really doesn't care about its own light and dark, its good and evil sides. So therefore, there is no God over the force either in the Star Wars concept or in the Star Wars worldview. There's nothing beyond the force. There's nothing beyond the universe, the material order, the life force that purportedly runs through it. There is no God who ultimately determines right and wrong in Star Wars.
Which really makes the whole war between the rebel forces and the one world, the First Order, almost like it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you want to fight for good if there's no standard of what is good?
There is something rather purposeless about the entire movie series. And I think that's where I want to go here towards the end of the broadcast. This kind of a universe is an endless series of creations and recreations. And after episode 7, what comes after that? Episode 8. And then what comes after that? 9. Then 10. Then 15. Then 20. Then 250. Then 1,000. And everybody knows there's no final consummation, no final judgment, no eternity.
No savior.
There's no consummation. And that's the religion taught by this series, this endless series of Star Wars episodes. That's what's being taught. It's purposeless, it's fruitless, it's endless. It's just the endless cycle of one force fighting the other force. And it sounds so
really
much like Eastern mysticism and an Eastern view of history. So, folks, that's the worldview. That's pretty much it. That summarizes this the Star Wars story. I think it's popular for a number of reasons. There's neat special effects. The good guys sort of beat the bad guys, but who knows who the good guys are, who the bad guys are in the ultimate sense. And some say there's a good picture of courage here. And that was mentioned by this Christian movie reviewer. You know, but why be courageous when nothing really matters? When there's really no eternal consequences for any of your actions? We're all just matter in motion. We live, we die, we turn into a less advanced form of cosmic dust. Why? What is courage? How would you define courage?
How would you define sacrifice? How would you define? You could go on and on and on.
Those who use the dark side of the force are considered evil, but somehow good is arbitrarily defined as either balance to the force or the light side of the force. I'm really not sure which one. It's rather confusing. I'm not sure if the good side is the light side or whether it's just balancing out the force. Skywalker asks Yoda at one point in one of the episodes, how am I to know the good side from the bad? And Yoda answers, you will know when you are calm, at peace, and passive. Now that again sounds just like Eastern meditation.
It does.
In other words, if you can just clean out your mind, clear out your mind of all Western distinctives, where you're no longer drawing distinctions between the dark and the light, where you no longer draw the distinctions between good and evil. All that's been imposed upon you by all this Western thinking that comes down through the ages from a Christian revelation, from a Judeo-Christian revelation through the Bible, the Old and New Testaments that made it through every single culture around the world. You know, you've got to get beyond all of those distinctives and begin to believe in Maya, where there is no reality at all. It's just all mirage. And there are no distinctions between good and evil. So that's effectively what Yoda is telling Skywalker in that episode.
And that is only really a false piece, because if you take a person who believes in Eastern meditation and you throw a trial or you throw something in their way to make them distressed or something to just shake them up, they will be shaken up and they won't have peace.
Every time. Yeah.
Every single time.
Yeah. And unless they can completely empty their mind by some kind of transcendental meditation or by committing suicide, you're still going to deal with God's reality and the problem of guilt and the problem of good and evil and the fact that we have a cosmic relationship between God and man that's been severely broken. And it's impossible for us to escape that psychologically. Okay, well, as we conclude this, I think we should just add several more things. Anthropologically, as you mentioned, this movie is off base because the assumption is evil comes from the dark side of the Force, not from the human heart. That is indeed evil, wicked above all things, and desperately wicked. The problem is not with the external forces. It's not some demon. It's not some dark force that infects us. Our problem is the heart, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, for out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. That's the problem. That's the root issue.
Jesus came. Yeah, and that is the biggest enemy that I fight every day is myself. Yeah. And the only way I can conquer that is by looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
One more thing that I think everybody who's out there watching these stories and picking up on these stories in the culture needs to be aware of is what I would call the social context. And of course, I bring all these out in my book, The Tattooed Jesus, where I'm trying to bring out methods of analysis so that we can be just a little more careful with the stories that make up our world. But the social context is important. And what you find the social context in this movie, M, is very little in terms of family and marriage. The woman, Rey, is entirely alone. She lives entirely by herself, completely by herself.
She doesn't even really know how to interact with the robot at first. She wants the robot to go away, but the robot kind of still wants to be her friend.
And then Han Solo and Leia.
Yeah, they've been separated for years.
They had a son out of wedlock, I guess. I'm not sure they've ever been married, but we're supposed to feel good about their relationship, I think. You know, it's supposed to feel really good. That's supposed to be the real relational edge in the movie, from what I've heard in the reviews.
Weak.
That's pretty rough, yeah. But again, no family. Han Solo's son kills his father in what it was probably one of the most shocking scenes that you'll see in the movie, and perhaps one of the most shocking scenes that I've ever seen in a movie before. It's Parasite. Very horrific to see that kind of thing happening. But again, what the message is very, very clear. There's no meaningful family or marriage in this social context, in the buildings of empires, in the building up of these gigantic republics. We find the same thing in things like, 24, the series 24.
You find it in all the popular trilogies that just came out, Divergent, Hunger Games, and the Maze Runner.
Family is negligible.
Non-existent.
Not important. The family's irrelevant when it comes to these empires and these revolutions. And that's because of Marxism. I think people need to understand that these movies are almost entirely absorbed in Marxism. And it's become, of course, very Western, very American, very post-Christian, very anti-covenantal. It's just endless war and empire building. It's the kingdom of Cain. It's what he does best. It's his social worldview. It's the approach he takes to the world. He builds his cities of anonymity. He destroys the family concept. And he wanders like a vagabond east of Eden while he builds his cities and empires. This is man in his most fallen estate. And I hope that those who watch these movies and these television series would begin to recognize what man looks like as he wanders away from relationship with God. He always wanders away from relationship with his fellow man. and he wanders away from family, and he wanders away from church, and he wanders away from community, and he begins to build these gigantic empires. All right, well, that's a summary of the greatest blockbuster of all time, my friend. Star Wars, The Force Awakens, is going to rake in billions of dollars around the world. It is already the number one blockbuster for opening weekend in the United States of America, and you heard the review on this edition of the Generations broadcast with my daughter, Emily. Thanks, Em, for joining me in studio. Appreciate you. And if you would like to get a better feel for how to do a in-depth movie review, not just counting cuss words and sex scenes, but really getting down to the nitty-gritty and identifying the worldviews and the social views that completely dominate the minds of modern man, get a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What the Real Jesus Would Do with Pop Culture Like Hollywood and Nashville. The Tattooed Jesus, a little paperback that we put out about a year ago, available right now at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.